Welcome to New Realities. My name is Alan Steinfeld. Each week on this program, I bring what I feel is the most exciting edge of this conscious evolution that we're in, and that includes human sexuality, which is probably the most complex of the physiological systems in our bodies, I feel. And tonight's guest is someone who's studied this, who's made a movie called Divine Nectar about female ejaculation. Her name is Tallulah Solis. And Tallulah, are you there?
I'm here, Alan.
Yes. I've been doing a series on sexuality, and the more I go into it, the more complex the whole physiology of our sexuality is. It's surprising. What do you think about that complexity?
Wow, I think that complexity is beautiful, actually. And there's a certain point where we are trying to figure it all out, you know, on different levels, scientifically, physiologically, you know. Mm-hmm. And there's another part where we release it, and we also just let it go and be this wonderful mystery. And particularly women's sexuality, I just love, you know, saying that we can try to figure all this out and at the same time just revel in the joy and the mystery of our bodies and the amazing infinite potential that we all have.
Well, yeah, part of the mystery, is that it's been kept a mystery for so long. I think women are more complex sexually. They seem to have more moving parts in some ways, or not moving, but what you've demonstrated in your film about female ejaculation, that there's a fluid that comes out, that probably most women aren't even aware exist. I mean, it must be shocking when you tell women that are just surprised about their own physiology. Have you found that? Shock?
Oh, yeah. Women have all sorts of, not just shock, but, you know, joy, excitement, fear, and the sense of, like, oh, my God, like, if this is possible, then what else is possible? So it really is, you know, usually when I talk about female ejaculation, it's a great excuse for women to explore their sexuality even further and take it to levels beyond what they thought, so they can raise the glass ceiling, they can raise the bar for what they thought was possible. And that is very empowering, to do something you didn't think that your body could do. And then what else is possible after that?
Well, go into that, because this program is called New Realities. Go into what else is possible for women, and then we'll go back to the ejaculation. But tell me, what else is possible?
Well, that's a great question, and a question actually that I'm still exploring myself and will probably be exploring for as long as I possibly can. Women's sexuality, I really do feel like taking it to the next level, or this infinite potential, really a lot of it is in the exploration of our emotional self and connecting the emotional self with the sexual self, as well as the spiritual self with the sexual self. And when you are working with all of your energy centers and moving this energy up through your whole body, this infinite potential that I'm speaking about is basically opening up your body to experiencing different dimensions, be able to unleash sexual trauma in the body, and emotional healing work is possible through sexuality. And actually, just physical transformation and health is definitely... sexual erotic energy is very healing energy. The orgasmic energy moves literally blocked energy that's stuck in the body. And this is some of the work that I focus on, is how we can move this energy throughout our bodies. And that is really amazing that we can do that with sexual energy.
Well, it is the base energy. I mean, it's the raw energy that actually brings the sperm and the egg together in the first place. It's our animal energy, in a sense. And just as you were talking about the potentials, I thought about the kundalini, and that is also a sensation that not many people ever experience, this kind of power at the base of the spine that is traditionally called the snake serpent energy, that starts to awaken consciousness as it's activated. Have you had those experiences?
You know, I actually was having a shamanic journey experience where I was having the experience where I didn't know this was what it was at the time, but all of a sudden I felt this energy moving through my body. It was very intense energy, and in my mind's eye, I saw and felt like a rainbow you know, a spectrum of rainbow colors moving through my body at actually a very intense rate. And my voice got louder and louder and louder, but it wasn't like a shrill scream. It was more like a steady, constant vocalization and getting louder as this energy was moving higher and higher. And this energy started at the base of my spine and moved all the way up through my crown chakra out to the top of my head. And all I could do was just felt like I was just releasing and unfolding and just so in such gratitude, for, you know, just feeling so humbled by the experience. This powerful energy was moving through my body that I didn't even know was possible. And later someone was like, wow, that sounds like a Kundalini awakening that you experienced. And ever since then, I've never been the same. I'm very much in touch with that Kundalini energy as a result of, you know, creating that pathway, opening up myself in such a way that it's really powerful when I'm dancing, when I'm hearing just a beautiful song, or if I'm just, you know, just feeling the breeze against my skin, I can tap into that amazing ecstatic energy. And it's not just sexual energy, it's life force energy.
But you know what? Sorry, what were you going to say?
Because I just said it's all of those things. It's not just sexual energy, it's just our life force energy.
But what I was getting about you is because you've done all this work in sexuality, the Kundalini didn't get backed up like it does in a lot of people, which causes a lot of problems. If that serpent energy at the base of the spine can flow through the meridians and the chakras and the spinal cord and cerebral spinal fluid easily, and it gets blocked, it causes pain, it causes, well, problems, but so I think the sexual work, it sounds like to me, has left a clear pathway for the Kundalini to go straight up and give you these other experiences.
Absolutely. And there's definitely times where I'm very self-aware now, more so than I have ever been before. Mm-hmm. And part of that is, you know, just the experience of becoming more and more embodied, being more aware of my breath, being aware when I feel pretty blocked. There's some days or some, you know, experiences where I'm just like, wow, like the energy is stuck in my neck, or I'm feeling blocked in my stomach, or, you know, I'm at least able to, sometimes I'm able to clear it, and other times just the awareness of it is actually what's really important. Because sometimes we're walking around day in and day out, holding on to this energy, having stuck and blocked energy, and we're just totally unaware because we're not really in our bodies. We're in our minds, kind of, you know, thinking about everything we have to do in the future and in the past and not being present to really the beauty of just being in a body on a day-to-day basis. And sometimes it's not all beautiful. You know, sometimes it's like, oh, wow, I'm really feeling stuck. I need to breathe more. I just need to do yoga today. I need to work out. I need to be out in nature. So the more that you're self-aware with your body, the more your body speaks to you. And this incredible body wisdom will say things like, you know, I need nurturing right now. I need to be touched. I need a massage. I would love to go for a walk in nature. So just being able to be aware of what the body needs in the moment, and to be able to self-nurture is really something that I you know, teach when I teach my workshops about how people can bring that self-awareness, that body awareness into the equation, not just sexually, but in their day-to-day existence.
Well, I totally agree with that. I think the reason that sex has been such a occupation and obsession in our culture is because it really is the only thing that still connects us to nature. Living in these urban environments, in our heads, we're so disconnected that these sensations that are so really minimal to the capacity that they can be really connects us back to this animal part of us, this natural part of us. And that's, it's still, and so it's been overemphasized and distorted because it's all that's left. And I think what you're saying about being in nature and listening to your body, it evens out that obsession, would you say?
Absolutely. Being connected to your body is also, you know, being connected to nature. There, you know, the body is just a microcosm of the macrocosm. And once we're really in tune with the systems that are happening in our body, then we're more just intrinsically connected to everything that's happening, especially the earth and being connected to nature. We live in a very fragmented society where we are fragmented within our bodies, and we're fragmented as, you know, a culture, and we're fragmented in our connection to the earth. So So a lot of the work that I do is trying to heal that fragmentation within and trying to heal that fragmentation on a very collective conscious sort of way that we can bring in this new awareness and consciousness and really understand the importance of being in a body and how being present and working with the body is actually very vital to every aspect of our future and humanity at large.
Absolutely. I mean, I think female ejaculation should be taught to teenagers in sex ed class, you know, because it's like you're showing people, women, that there's this hidden, let's say this hidden stream that's living in the forest there that no one's discovered, and here it is, and it's part of nature, like you're saying, of the body, and it's yours, and you can bathe in its waters, and right, and discover this. This is for us and women to discover, and for actually men to benefit from that discovery, because I think the liquid that's comes out is very healing. So it's part of the miracle of what you're saying, and part of the mystery, and part of the discovery that there's nature, that we are nature, and this, and what I'm just saying is a hidden nature is so important to educate people. So I want to thank you for everything you're doing, and how to just describe how women feel when some of them, when you really tell them what's possible for, I mean, you sort of said it before, but how do they react to their own bodies? How do women's relationship to their own body changing because of what you're showing them?
Wow, that's such a mixed experience. I wish I could say, Ellen, that like all the women that I bring this information to have such a positive, experience with it, or when they start practicing this, and that it's just all wonderful from there. A lot of women, when they start doing a lot of self-exploration, a lot of times, even for the very first time, when they start exploring their G-spot, they take the hand mirror and they start looking at themselves in the mirror. A lot of this stuff can bring up, either past trauma or emotional things that just need to be addressed and looked at and healed. So
you mean like body image stuff?
Yes, body image stuff, cultural identity stuff. Mm-hmm. A lot of women have very negative self-body images, not just their body, but also the shape of their yoni, and what it looks like. A lot of women they don't know that they're normal. They think there's something wrong with them. And, they just don't realize that we're all unique and that uniqueness is our beauty and that the cultural standard that's been set for what we should look like is really devastating to most women. And it totally inhibits their behavior sexually because you're not able to tap into your natural, authentic sexual self when you have a negative self-image of yourself. It's really difficult to do
that. You know, that's so interesting sociologically, in the sense the yoni, the vagina, doesn't have a model, a standard that women can compare themselves with, like the perfect body, because each yoni is different. So in a way, it sounds, if they get it sociologically, that there's no standard, that everyone's unique and everyone is just as beautiful as the next in that sense. So, there's no way to compare one yoni to another because they're all. So it's like it doesn't sound like women are freed from that. You sound like some of them are just as kind of trapped or traumatized by looking at themselves and not. And this comparison thing that I guess women in a way have more than men. So,
it's every woman. Once you start talking about female ejaculation, a lot of women will come up to me and say, "Well, this is just yet another thing that I have to feel pressure to do or feel inadequate about." And what I tell women is that that's totally valid. I definitely understand that there are a lot of pressures on women. What I'm simply doing is spreading awareness about this, letting women know what is possible. And I always tell them, have so much compassion for yourself. Wherever you are at is perfect. You are already whole. You have everything that you need within you. And this is just a process of discovery and a journey that you're going on. Whether you actually end up ejaculating or not is really not what I even care about at all. It's mostly just about the journey and that willingness to explore, to discover, to share that experience with a partner, to connect deeper to yourself, to find out what is possible. Really, that is the journey that you know, is very empowering. It's sometimes difficult for women, like I was saying, and sometimes it's just amazing. I mean, I've seen women just totally, like, tears of joy and are coming to them once they have that permission that what they're experiencing in their body is perfectly normal and encouraged. There's nothing wrong with them. They don't have a leak. You know, there's not,
right.
You know, it's not an incontinence thing. A lot of women are already ejaculating.
And not even knowing it.
They have no reference point for it. They're completely lost, and they feel shame and guilt. And because of that, they close off and they shut down. And I've known women who, once they heard about female ejaculation, they're like, oh, my God, I was shut down for 20-some years because I was so scared to let go, lest I, you know, wet the bed or, you know, accidentally pee. And it's like, now that I know this wasn't pee, wow, I can't wait to just get started and reclaim my sexual identity and, you know, explore and tap into that part, that long-lost part of ourselves.
But what other, I mean, you said just before there's so many pressures women have, I guess, sexually, but what? Because I don't think men really understand women and what pressures. I'm just curious what they are.
Well, you know, a lot of the reference points for women's body are, you know, in the media and through porn. And the way that women act sexually is also very much influenced from porn, because we don't have a lot of sex education. I mean, the sex education in schools, I think, is horrifying. At least the sex education that I received was very limited, and there were so many things that you couldn't talk about. So, you know, sex education in schools, I feel like there is so much, you know, tiptoeing around what can and cannot be discussed. And therefore, kids are getting their information, or teens or young adults are getting their information from the Internet, from
pornography. That's the education.
That is the education. And that's... because of that, women think that they have to act a very particular way during sex. A lot of women, you know, feel pressure to either be really orgasmic or to not have any needs or voice, you know, I want this, I need that. So a lot of women are very shut down with communication, and they don't know that they can ask for something or that they have boundaries. They don't know what their boundaries are. So learning what your boundaries are and knowing that you have the permission to voice those, that you deserve to have your boundaries, you deserve to have, you know, your integrity with that experience, that someone else's needs, you know, it's not just assumed that those will come before yours. You can always speak your voice. And a lot of women don't know that they have this option, this choice to communicate their needs to their partner. And a lot of women don't know that... the way that they feel about themselves is basically how other people perceive us, you know, very much so. So if we carry ourselves with an energy of confidence and self-love and this desire to grow and learn and you know, that humility that surrounds that, then people will see that and that experience. And the more that we, you know, are feeling like self-loathing or a lot of shame around ourselves, you know, the more that we're going to keep reinforcing that for ourselves. We're going to keep reinforcing that story that we keep telling ourselves, like, oh, I'm not this, I'm not that, or I'm this and I'm that. And it really just, you know, gets reinforced over and over again. So breaking out of those patterns of negative self-imaging and being able to be empowered by our uniqueness and not in fear of it.
And your beauty and the love of who you are. I mean, I just feel like you probably have a personal story along those lines where you personally transformed because of just your intention. Do you want to just share that?
My personal journey, of course.
Well, just how you changed the way you looked at yourself, and then it changed the way you looked and acted and the way people acted towards you, right?
Sure.
I mean,
yeah, in the beginning, for me, I always just felt like, you know, I was raised in a, you know, a suburban, you know, Republican conservative family, and I always just felt like I had a desire to learn more and was curious about sexuality and was just curious about my body. And a lot of times I felt like that just wasn't appropriate. Now, you know, my family situation, I wasn't made to feel bad or put down for that exploration, thankfully. So therefore, I never felt a lot of shame or guilt about my sexuality. But what I did feel like I was confronted with was just this cultural energy that it wasn't okay to talk about sex, it wasn't okay to ask questions, and it wasn't okay to be unique and to express myself in a unique way. And for me, I kind of wore clothes that were different or unique and got made fun of for it. And I was just trying to express myself. But early on in life, I got all these messages from schoolmates and family and different sorts of things that was just like, no, it's not okay to be this unique person that you are. It's something that you have to conform to these, this set of beliefs and views. And really, a lot of my life was a struggle against fighting between my authentic self and my authentic sexual self, and then the pressures from boyfriends or pressures from, community, family, and life in general. So for me, my own personal transformation of finding my authentic sexual self has been incredible.
But how did you find it? What was it that awoke in you? What experience did you have that said, yes, I found something unique here, or myself?
I mean, I wish there was like a very specific particular thing. For me, it was like a combination of a lot of things, a lot of like self-help kinds of classes and workshops. I definitely was a workshop junkie for a while and did a lot
of
self-growth work with myself. Uh-huh. And went on a lot of retreats. And really, like at a young age, I was definitely very much on this path of self-exploration, self-evolution, and growth. And I really felt like a combination of taking those workshops, being with like-minded people, finding my community, finding like-minded people who could support me and my uniqueness and supporting them and their uniqueness, finding my artist friends, finding people who express themselves uniquely, that was actually really amazing for my growth, was finding community and surrounding myself with as many people as I could who would not be judgmental towards me but would actually support my growth and inspire me to explore even farther. So I had, a combination of really amazing lovers and partners who were very encouraging of me sexually. Mm-hmm. But I also had a handful of lovers who were very discouraging and judgmental and freaked out and intimidated by me sexually. So it's definitely been a long and, complicated road of finding my own unique path within this. And, also doing a lot of self-care stuff, doing yoga, changing my diet, being more self-aware in my body, those kinds of things. If I'm feeling kind of stressed out or grumpy or like I have a low libido, then I go and I do yoga or I go jogging, I exercise, I stretch, I meditate. I try to do things that are going to like support my self-growth as much as I possibly can.
But did you have one experience maybe, and you, if you care to share, that you said a sexual opening that said yes to, that you just said, This is an authentic sexual experience. This is where I'm going sexually. This is the expansion of your womanhood. Did you have one that was like that, or not necessarily?
I've had a few, but the one that really has been the most inspiring was when I actually had my first experience of consciously ejaculating. And when I ejaculated for the first time, I was with a partner who was very encouraging, and he said to me, I think you can ejaculate. And at the time, I had vaguely heard of it. It was some back of my mind kind of thing, but I thought it was a circus act. Mm-hmm. And I told my partner, like, I don't really know if that's possible. Like, what is that? This has to be just some kind of special thing that only certain people can do, mm-hmm. if at all. And he's just like, no, I think you can do this. And he gave me permission. And even though mentally I had a lot of mental blocks to it, my body responded in an amazing way. He was stimulating my G-spot, and when I had an orgasm, I relaxed and released and surrendered in a deeper way, and because of that, I was able to ejaculate like a tiny little bit, and for me, it was like the floodgates had opened of just me and my sexuality. I was able to do something that completely, was just amazing, and as I, had this experience of learning, I got so excited to keep exploring and ejaculate more and more and more and find out different ways I could ejaculate and explore my G-spot. So for me, the whole reason I'm so excited about female ejaculation, I had to make a movie about it, was because of that experience was so pivotal to my self-growth and my sexual awakening. It was so, like, metaphoric of women's sexual journey. And why didn't I know about this before? Why was this incredible experience hidden from me? And why don't women know about this? And, it just felt like I wanted to be an activist, and I wanted to help women heal, and I wanted to have my own healing journey all at once. Within that one experience, it opened so many doors for me.
It opened the floodgates. It was a little pun there. But no. But what I was thinking about as you were talking, it's like we have, women seem to, there's a muscle. You found like a new muscle in your body or something new to just exercise, or right? You found like a new part of yourself.
Yes.
In that experience.
Yeah, it literally is like a portal that opens. What, particularly about female ejaculation, there really is a portal, a physiological portal that you can release and open and have control over. It can be a conscious choice to ejaculate or not. Sometimes it definitely happens involuntarily. But at the same time, once that portal is open, once you make contact with that and you have that experience, there's no going back. You've opened this new corridor within yourself, both physiologically, literally, as well as just in, you know, many different levels of that experience. That's why it's so powerful to me, is that it just is really a deeper form of release, a deeper letting go, a tangible experience, a sexual expression for women. Mm-hmm. And it's such an empowering, exhilarating experience.
Yeah, and for what I know of it, especially in the Taoist tradition, it's a very yin fluid, and that yin nourishes the yang in men. So for men to take the fluid in through the tip of their penis or the head of the penis, there's actually glands there that absorb the fluid from the woman, and it's very nurturing, those fluids, those female fluids, to the male. Yin nourishes yang, you know, and so I think in the Japanese tradition, they would actually collect these fluids in bowls and then use it on their skin, wouldn't they? Did you hear about that?
Yes, and actually, in her book about female ejaculation, Deborah Sindall actually shows images of women ejaculating into bowls. These are ancient sculptures that were in, I think they're in ancient China, like, that they discovered these sculptures that depict women ejaculating, and they're ejaculating over these bowls. So she's done a lot of historical research because the thing is, this is an ancient experience. It's not like because we're just learning about female ejaculation now that it's a new experience for women. This has been around since ancient times,
since we had bodies, I'm sure, right?
Yes, absolutely. This is such a natural, intrinsic part of women's sexuality, and it is sort of, it's been denied to us. It's been suppressed and oppressed, and I definitely feel like this is a sexual revolution. Or, you know, female ejaculation to me is a very revolutionary topic because it's seeking to open these new doors that, you know, they have been around forever. Women have been ejaculating forever, but the information about this has been very shrouded. And in lots of misconceptions and disbelief. And, you know, it's only very recent that it was discovered that women, you know, had a clitoris, that women were able to ejaculate. Very recent, even, that women, it was discovered women had a G-spot. And so now, even more recent, is the discovery that women can ejaculate. A lot of times when women were ejaculating, they were pathologized. And they were, you know, told that they needed to undergo surgery for incontinence and all sorts of wild, actually inhumane things have been done in the name of female ejaculation and misinformation about it.
Right, and like you're saying, any woman can ejaculate. They have the physiology. It's just, I guess, the stimulation, and you can talk a little bit about what that fluid is and where it comes from. You said it comes through the urethra, so it may have like a little bit of urine on it, but it's not urine at all. So please tell people what exactly it is and the physiology of that.
Sure. The physiology of it is that it's prostatic fluid. It's prostatic acid phosphatase, which means that it has high levels of glucose. It doesn't smell like urine. It doesn't taste like urine. It doesn't look like urine. It's like a clear, clear fluid, and it can be a very small amount to a very, very, very large amount that can wet an entire bed. And women can keep ejaculating going and going and going throughout an evening. It's not just a finite experience. It's something that just can keep happening as the levels of arousal build. And it comes from the urethral opening, and the G-spot is also the female prostate. The G-spot surrounds the urethra. And so basically, the female prostate is producing prostatic acid very similar to men. And actually, female ejaculate is very similar to male ejaculate, except without the semen. So it has very similar properties of that prostatic fluid. So most women don't know that they have a prostate, a female prostate, and that is the G-spot. And for many women, that's a very pleasurable experience. And some women, you know, experience sensation on their G-spot is like a feeling of needing to pee. It kind of feels like a pressure. But combined with clitoral stimulation, it really works so beautifully to enhance sensation. And I encourage that this is like a great recipe for many women to learn about female ejaculation by stimulating the G-spot as well as the clitoris.
And it's pleasurable, but it's not orgasmic, or it can be orgasmic. I'm not sure. Tell me, when you ejaculate, is that an orgasm or is it a different sensation?
Well, I consider that orgasm, for example, a lot of people get very limited when they talk about orgasm. A lot of people don't know that you could have a clitoral orgasm, you could have a G-spot orgasm, you could have a cervical orgasm, you could have an anal orgasm, you could have a G-spot clitoral blended orgasm, you could have a full-body expanded energetic orgasm.
I'll take one of each. No, I'm kidding.
Yes, one of each, please. Yes, there's so many different types of, of orgasms. And anytime there is a rise in sensation, a climactic experience of energy in the body, I consider that an orgasm. A lot of women experience female ejaculation as orgasmic, as in like it's a buildup of sensation and then the release of that. And if they feel the buildup of the ejaculate in the G-spot.
Which may feel like they have to pee, right?
That's the point where a lot of women say, time out, I'm going to go race off to the bathroom now. And they actually release the ejaculate and or, try to pee in the bathroom, not realizing that if they just let go, if they, bear down and push out and release the ejaculate, then, they're not going to be peeing. It's actually really, really, really hard to pee during a really aroused state.
Uh-huh.
So, but ejaculation can sometimes occur right before a genital orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
It can occur during. Like for me, I can basically just be stimulating my G-spot and my clitoris, feel the buildup of the ejaculate, and then push out and release it. And it doesn't have to accompany an orgasm. And then,
but is that pleasurable? I mean, when you release it?
Yes, it's pleasurable in that, it's like the feeling of, when you really have to pee really, really, really bad, and then when you finally do, it's that like, that deep kind of like release. And
but that's not orgasmic. I mean, for me, it's not. I mean, it's relief. It's a relief.
Yeah,
but
it's a release. But if you're aroused while it's happening, or you're arousing yourself, you're stimulating your clit, then it does have more orgasmic properties to it. But I would say is that an orgasm in and of itself? The actual ejaculate? No. For me, the ejaculation, I consider that orgasmic, but I don't consider it like the genital orgasm, and it can be accompanied with a genital orgasm. Very similar to men. Men can ejaculate with and without orgasm.
Ejaculation is probably an orgasm. I mean, they can have an orgasm without ejaculating, but I would say most men, when they do ejaculate, it's an orgasm for them. That's chalk that up as an orgasm, Don't you think? I mean, it's hard to ejaculate and not have an orgasm.
Yes, you're right, that it's hard to ejaculate but not have an orgasm, although that is possible with prostate stimulation.
Oh,
by stimulating the prostate, men can ejaculate without having an orgasm. They can literally just, they can actually ejaculate with that experience. But because men can practice and learn to orgasm without the ejaculation, I would definitely say that the orgasm is definitely separate from
the ejaculation.
Now, this is kind of open to speculation, of course. My theory is that the ejaculate itself is not the orgasm per se. It can have orgasmic sensations to it, but that it enhances my orgasm when I ejaculate with an orgasm, and it enhances my sexual experience.
Like the same for men, though. I've had orgasms without ejaculating, and then the ones with do have a added sensation, but they also, for men, they leave me and men depleted generally. And whereas if you don't ejaculate, there's a building up of the energy. But that's what's different for women too, though, right?
Yeah, exactly. A lot of women report that, and myself included in that, report feeling totally exhilarated and high after ejaculating. There's something really energizing about it, And, you know, for me, I always say that I feel like cheering like a football player who scored a touchdown sometimes when I ejaculate, you know, or especially when it just squirts right across the room, or, you know, it's just experience of a deep energetic release for me. I just, you know, I'm just like, oh my God. And the women in my film, Divine Nectar, they had these big smiles on their face right after they ejaculate. It's really great to capture that high after the ejaculation. And, you know, some people say, oh, well, you know, ejaculating drains women of their energy, and it's like, no, nothing could be farther from the truth.
It gives them energy. It's like nourishing, you're saying.
And they want to keep going. They you know, most women are like, wow, I'm ready for more. Like, I know I can keep going. And, you know, a lot of the women we were filming, you know, we were, you know, just, you know, trying to film them in their authentic, natural experience with and without their partner. And a lot of women, they kept going and going and going. And, you know, they tried this, they tried that. And there's something about G-spot stimulation where you can be multi-orgasmic and keep, there's this feeling that you want to, you know, expand your experience and keep going. With just, you know, clitoral stimulation, that's fabulous, you know, but also a lot of women report that they only can have one clitoral orgasm and then they're done, or they feel like too sensitive afterwards. But when you combine clitoral stimulation with G-spot stimulation, you actually have the experience of multiple orgasms and this feeling that you can keep going. It's not like you don't have that feeling like, oh, this is that's it.
Why would you ever want to stop then? I guess you get it's like you have your pill. But but you also do teach women how to do this, right? Because I think it is a big hidden secret for most women, you know. And so what would you tell... You tell them to bear down, push out. I mean, what would you tell them exactly?
Yes, I tell them to first of all, get in touch with their anatomy. I teach them, I basically, in my workshops, I make sure that every woman leaves knowing exactly where her G-spot is. Mm. What it looks like in the mirror, you can actually push out the G-spot and see it. A lot of people
think it's
really deep and elusive within the vaginal canal, but you can literally push out the G-spot when you bear down.
You can push it out?
Yeah.
To the outside?
Yep, absolutely. In my film, I show women pushing out their G-spots, and it looks like a spongy mound with ridges that comes out, and it emerges. And for some women, it's a little bit farther back, so it's a little bit harder to see. But for many women, it's just right near the opening because it surrounds the urethra. So obviously, it has to be close to the opening because it surrounds the urethra.
What does pushing it out do for it or them, and I mean for women?
The pushing out a lot of times releases the ejaculate. So that's an important thing to... a lot of women are not used to bearing down or, as I put it, giving birth to their orgasms.
Right.
A lot of women are afraid to bear down because they're afraid they're going to pee. Like they feel like, uh-oh, I'm going to, if I really let go, something's going to happen.
Is it the same muscles as pee, as your pee muscles?
You know, that's a really great question. It's coming out of the urethra, but it's different muscles. Although it oftentimes does feel like you're, in the beginning, it feels like you're peeing because you have no other reference point for it other than, oh, I pee out of my urethra, therefore I'm ejaculating and it feels like I'm peeing. That's a really tough one for women to get over. It's like it's like that's the hump that they need to move into the world of female ejaculation, is that they're so afraid that they're going to pee. Like, it feels like I'm about to pee, I just can't let go. And so I tell women to go into a bathtub or go out in nature where it's okay, you know, if they do pee, or it's okay that they can let go because there's not going to be this huge mess on the bed.
Well, you know, this really fits into my whole theory about us evolving as humans and getting in touch with our more subtle emotions and feelings and sensitivities, and just what you're describing about these subtle sensations and these subtle controls is about our human evolution, even though it's probably been there a long time. The more women and probably men get in touch with these subtle body responses, the more, in a sense, human we become, the more control we have over our bodies and all that. It's a fascinating part of our evolution. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And, yeah, the more awareness we can bring to it. So, yes, as you were saying, this has been happening with us since ancient times. The more awareness we bring to it, the more we can cultivate it, the more we can share this information with other people, and the more we can use it to heal, you know, to work with our sexual energy and heal our bodies with this, as well as connect more deeply with our partner and share this beautiful, loving, you know, expressive energy. in a non-judgmental space with our partner is so, you know, incredible.
So continue, like, saying, okay, about what you do, what you show women. You have them sometimes push out their G-spot. What else?
Oh, yes. Okay, so I have them get in touch with their G-spot. I teach them about bearing down. I, you know, teach them about their PC muscles, the pelvic floor muscles, which do the bearing down and the squeezing in. And it's actually a very, you know, intense, very complex network of muscles that once women really get in touch with their pelvic floor or PC muscles, there it moves and pumps orgasmic energy through your body. It's incredible. So those are the muscles that you use when you push out the ejaculate. So the other thing that I teach women is just incorporating clitoral stimulation with G-spot stimulation, learning about G-spot toys, learning how partners can stimulate their G-spot more effectively, learning about not blocking the urethral opening, making sure that the pathway for the ejaculate to get out is actually really clear. And that takes, you know, some experimenting, just finding out what works uniquely for your body. So,
because if it's blocked with a finger or penis or something, you will not be able to ejaculate,
yeah.
You're saying?
Sometimes the ejaculate simply will not come out. And that's something that a lot of, it's like that one little piece of information can help women ejaculate, because sometimes they don't know that the urethra is being blocked. And sometimes
right.
You can dribble out around that, but a lot of times it just simply will not come out if it's being blocked. So that's actually one very helpful piece of information that I actually go into depth with in my film. And you'll notice, if you know, when you watch the film, all the women, when they ejaculate, they take out whatever is inside of them. And they're
able to
really ejaculate, or the partner will take their fingers out. They'll stay close by. You don't want to, you know, totally.
But you can ejaculate. Let's say if someone was inside, their penis was inside you could not ejaculate?
Sometimes. A lot of the time you can't. There's definitely times when you can, and it kind of dribbles out around. But it's most effective when you know, as you're removing whatever object is inside, you're actually putting pressure on the G-spot as you're doing it. And that kind of helps trigger the G-spot to also release the ejaculate.
Oh,
and
I see.
And stimulating the urethral opening, like when a woman's bearing down and pushing out her G-spot, when she or her partner stimulates the urethral opening, that often stimulates women to the point of ejaculation, too, if they're also, you know, really aroused during that experience. So I teach women a lot of techniques. I teach partners techniques. I also teach partners how encouraging they can be, because the best thing you can do as a partner of someone who is ejaculating, or you want her to ejaculate, is to be totally enthusiastic and encouraging and not have any judgmental, you know, energy, even psychically, because that is transmitted and felt, even if it's not spoken.
So the men have to be re-educated to really be that supportive, because, it, like I said, it is very beneficial for the men, this fluid. Really, really, it is. So, I mean, both partners benefit from this, you know. And it's exciting. It's a whole new experience for people, I would say, if they would just, you know, let their bodies kind of be free and do naturally and love their bodies the way they can, and not judge them, not judge who you are. So
yes,
it's a freedom.
Yes, and a lot of times, you know, a lot of women come to me and they say, well, I want to learn to ejaculate. And then sometimes it's like, oh, these women have some other things that they need to work on first before we even get to
like what?
Ejaculation.
Have to work on? Yeah.
Their own sexual trauma and emotional and self-image work. So a lot of women will come to me and then it's like, oh, I just, you know, and then it will come out that they actually, you know, either experience a lot of pain during sex, which, you know, it can be because there is trauma stored in the muscles of the vaginal tissue. And I've studied pelvic release work, where you actually go into the vaginal canal and massage the vaginal canal, the tissues inside the vaginal canal, and literally you're releasing energy that's just been blocked there sometimes for years, since childhood, or even recent. So releasing that energy, like, if, you know, female ejaculation requires that you really be able to get into, first, a very highly aroused state. A lot of women cannot get into a really highly aroused state, not because they don't have the anatomy to do so, but because they have a lot of mental blocks to it.
And trauma.
And so if they have negative self-image, or they have emotional barriers to that, where every time they get in that space, they kind of freeze up or they disassociate, There's all these things that, you know, that can happen that prevents women from becoming, moving into that highly aroused state and then to the state of inhibition, you know, where you're totally uninhibited. So female ejaculation requires that you're in touch with your body, that you can be in a highly aroused state, and that you can let go and surrender, and a certain level of inhibition and self-permission needs to be in place for that to happen. Now, there's nothing wrong with you if you're not in that place. For me, it's, I can't encourage women enough that wherever they're at, if they do have tons of emotional trauma, that's fine too.
But you help them through that. I mean, people who have been sexually abused do dissociate and are less in touch with their body, so it would definitely be harder for them, and it would also be like you have to work through those things to have a healthy sexual, you know, attitude about who you are.
And there is hope. You're never just stuck. You know, that's what's so amazing also about the human body, too, and just us as beings. There is always hope. We're never just stagnant or stuck in a static place with our lives and with our emotions. I know a lot of women who've come to me and said, I'm just broken. I'm just totally broken, and I'm just messed up, and that's just the way I am, and it's always going to be like that. It's like, no. There's, and I've seen those women transform and change and evolve into this amazing being who is, you know, beyond their wildest expectations. There's so much possible for us.
How do you do that for? How do you first start with a woman who says that they're broken? What do you do?
Well, there's a combination of talking, just simply talking, sharing our story is really important. A lot of women need to be heard. Their story needs to be heard. They need to feel like they're heard when no one else wanted to listen to them. So having a platform, holding space for them to just talk about their story, talk about what's going on for them. And then actually working with the body is really, really, really important. The problem with a lot of like sex therapy is it's just all talk, you know, and you're not really getting into the body and really unlocking things in the body that you can only do when you're working directly with the body. So you can talk all you want too, but at a certain point you have to work directly with yourself and take whatever kind of baby steps are necessary. So when, you know, I'm a certified somatic sexologist, which means that I'm certified in the state of California to actually do pelvic healing work with men and women. And through that training, we learned how to go into the body and use, you know, the erotic energy of the body to help unlock, you know, and using the breath to help unlock stored trauma that's stuck in the body. So we work with the body, we work with the mind, we work with the emotions, we work with the spirit. And you have to really have a holistic approach to sexuality because it is a mind-body-spirit experience.
Right.
You have to
work
with the body in that way.
And I bet some women will only trust another woman, especially if they've been traumatized by men. So it's like you're performing a very valuable service by helping these women who probably couldn't get help any other way by doing hands-on for women that... And so you've seen miraculous transformations.
I've seen women have come to me who sex was really painful. Like they just couldn't enjoy themselves, and it was just, it wasn't like something was wrong with them. They'd been to the gynecologist, and they'd had checkups, and they're like, you're fine. There was just, they knew that there was a lot of emotional wounding. So I would just, you know, sometimes it takes a really long time, and sometimes it's just a matter of a few sessions. I would go in there, and I would do pelvic release work, and what ends up happening is the trauma is stored in the muscle tissue. Sometimes it's often stored in the G-spot, actually. So G-spot healing work is really, really, really valuable for women because oftentimes they can't have any pleasurable experience from their G-spot if it's numb or if it's painful. So if it's painful or numb, then you go in and you start stimulating it. You start massaging the G-spot. And then when there's that feeling of like something's coming up, then usually, you know, you'll still feel like heat in the body. I encourage them to vocalize, to moan, to scream, to growl, to get out whatever is stuck in the tissues. And then once that is released, then all of a sudden that area becomes very sensitive. So you're actually sensitizing the body when you release trauma.
Do you ever get turned on yourself when you're doing that kind of work? And then how do you deal with that if you do?
Well, when I do the pelvic release sessions, I don't. I'm very focused, so I don't really even. You know, I'm sort of trying to get out of the way as much as possible and just be in service in that place, because it's really quite serious work. It's not about them having an erotic experience so much as them, you know, going into the body and releasing
and releasing pain. Yeah, I see. You're absolutely right.
And then, but you know, with any kind of sexual healing work or sexual massage sessions, I mean, I think the most that you can, be in service with that and just try to get out of the way. And you know, if you do have sexual feelings come up with that, because there's a lot of, men sexual healers as well as female sexual healers, and that is something that we talk about, we discuss. And a lot of times it's just simply a matter of acknowledging it, not trying to repress it or ignore it or just feel like, oh my God, something's wrong with me or I'm a horrible person. It's just a matter of, like, embracing that and acknowledging it. You don't necessarily have to work with it or do anything with it, but you just simply acknowledge its presence. Like, oh, that's interesting. Like, my body's turned on right now.
And you express that to the person that you might be working with, or just not necessarily?
You don't necessarily have to. I mean, I think if you're not acting on it in any way, then you don't necessarily need to. To inform them, because that could make them shut down and be like, oh, my God.
That's right. And you're there to really serve them. You're absolutely right. And
that is first and foremost.
And it's incredible, the work, because really you really are working with the whole person, and the emotions are really key. I mean, to letting somebody just have a joyful experience of life. I mean, beyond sex or pleasure, it's just like we're here in these beautiful bodies to love them and feel the pleasure that flows through them. And for me, that is a spiritual experience. So, I mean, how do you connect people to their spirit? In what way? Or is it that way? I mean, you know, because...
Yeah, that's actually really an amazing experience, is just working through and up the body. So a lot of times when I'd be doing healing work with people or with a partner and just wanting to go deeper and explore and have a more spiritual experience or a more consciously spiritual experience of the situation, then, you know, working up the body, working up the energy centers, working up the chakras, feeling connected, doing eye gazing work is really great. Looking into their eyes, breathing, being very in touch with what is happening in the present moment. If emotions are coming up, then if I can work with those emotions and acknowledge them and embrace them, the more free I am to unhinge from my body and actually transcend my body. But you have to start with the body first before you can transcend it, right?
Right, so, and you have to start with the emotion. And it's a whole package. And I mean, you're doing amazing work. I really am happy to know you're out there helping women and men, but particularly women, reach whole new potentials in their lives. And so,
this is so available for men too. I mean,
in which way? Just because we're almost out of time, tell me how it's available for men and which kind of.
Sure. I encourage men to explore their G spots, their prostates. I encourage men to explore being multi orgasmic, to explore their body's potential, to explore separating, you know, orgasm from ejaculation. To explore opening up the channels between their genitals and their heart, between their genitals and their, you know, their crown, and to really have a whole body experience of their sexuality. A lot of men can be very genitally focused sometimes with their sexuality, and really being able to work with that erotic energy and move it throughout your whole body really opens up so many gateways for men. It's amazing. So I encourage, in a nutshell, those are some very basic things that men can explore new horizons with.
Well, that's really good. But do you think that women are more complex? I mean, because they can give birth, they have all that extra feature, but it also kind of goes over into their sexual physiology. Mm-hmm. Do you think they've experienced more pleasure and are more complex than men, or is there equal?
That's hard to say, not being a guy. But
right.
I do have to say that I would lean towards thinking that women are a bit more complex and have a greater capacity to really work with erotic energy, as this is, like you said, I love how you related it to birth as well, that is part about bringing life into the world. Mm-hmm. Yes, our erotic energy does help bring life into the world. So because of that power that women need for, you know, giving birth and to be the bringers of life, I really do feel like we have a greater capacity within ourselves for pleasure.
I think you do too, and it's okay. Men can experience pleasure, I'm sure.
Yeah.
No, I know they can. But women, you know, and it's also joyful for a man to watch a woman experience those intense levels of pleasure. So, you know, maybe it's both in a kind of energetic kind of way, you know?
Yeah.
But thank you so much, Tallulah. Now, your website is, tell people.
Sure, it's www.divinenectarthefilm.com.
And that's the movie Tallulah Solis has done about female ejaculation called Divine Nectar, and it's an amazing film, just watching these women and the joy they're experiencing in the process, and there's a lot of instruction on that. And then you're also traveling around the states, giving workshops, giving talks, showing the movie, and it's the same website to get in touch with that?
Absolutely, yes. That's the same website.
Mm. Thanks so much for this beautiful connection for people to take the next level in being conscious in their bodies.
Mm. Well, thank you so much for having me, Ellen. Mm. It's been a pleasure.
It has. It has. I think you're going to be on Laurie Handler's show tomorrow night. At the same time, same station. But this program will also be archived on the newrealities.com website and also on BBS Radio. Thanks again, Tallulah.
Thank you, and blessings.
Blessings to you. I mean, it's amazing what you're doing. It's so appreciated by so many people who've come in contact with it. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. If you want to reach me, I am at newrealities@earthlink.net. Check out my website, newrealities.com, and there'll be a list of events and happenings around New York and the country. And thank you for listening to New Realities. See you next week.